Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, today I want to talk to you about ways to cultivate the gift of preaching, and we'll do so. We find that in our text in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 14 and 15. So thank you for joining me on this Friday edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank you, those of you whose financial gifts enable us to maintain this program on this and other stations. Well, 1 Timothy 4:15 says, or 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. And I took that first phrase, do not neglect the gift, and that gift, of course, is the teaching gift, the gift that God has given to those that He calls into pastoral ministry to be able to publicly minister the Word of God. That's a gift that God gives, a spiritual gift, we could call it. It is the one unique requirement of the ministry, as we saw in 1 Timothy chapter 3, a man must have an aptitude to teach. But this needs to be cultivated and developed. Just because a person has that aptitude does not mean that he has it to full development. I don't think anybody does. It needs to be improved. It needs to be cultivated. It needs to be worked on. It needs to be enlarged. It needs to be enhanced. That's why Paul says, do not neglect the gift that is in you. And if you think I'm reading too much out of that phrase, then just listen carefully to the words of the next verse that says, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them. Again, talking about the work of the minister, the pastor, and particularly his public ministry of teaching God's Word. Meditate on these things. In other words, give a lot of thought to what's the best way to do these things. Give yourself entirely to them. That's got to be your main focus, your first priority, that your progress may be evident to all. It ought to be apparent to people that you are improving. You are making progress in your ability to publicly minister the Word of God. All right, that's the assignment. Now, how does a preacher do that? And so, again, I'm talking primarily to preachers, but you can help preachers. You can encourage preachers. In fact, you can help them with some of the things that I'm going to talk about. But how does one go about improving his preaching? Well, the first and most obvious thing would be to ask other people who know what preaching is and what it ought to be like to critique you. Now that requires a great deal of humility. And not everybody is going to find that easy. But we're supposed to be humble and we ought to be willing to do that. Now the problem, of course, can be that you may ask people to critique you who really are not very well prepared to do that, who really don't understand the work very well. So I would say you probably should only ask people to critique you who themselves are preachers. And probably those who have more experience at it than you do, they should be able to evaluate your preaching efforts properly. And probably they will evaluate them graciously, knowing that they themselves are in the work of the public ministry of God's Word, and that as they critique you, so you are going to be critiquing them, whether you're going to do it formally, because they may not ask you for your critique, but there's a humility that's built into the situation if you do it. The people who never do it are the ones that are the hardest to, they're the ones who think that they can tell you how you ought to do it, but that's easy enough when they don't do it. You know, the old Monday morning quarterback syndrome. Everybody thinks he could have done it better than the quarterback, but of course, if you could, why aren't you on the field? Why aren't you quarterbacking? If you're so good at quarterbacking, then why aren't you doing it? And you'll find that in churches, there will always be people who think they are God's messenger to tell you how to do your job of pastoring, but of course, they've never done it, and they really don't know as much about it as they think they do. And sometimes you're just going to have to talk to people like that and say, look, God didn't call you to pastor, he called me to pastor. And I appreciate your input, but I am going to have to take my orders from God, not from you. But that's different from being unwilling to take criticism, advice, input from anybody. And the people that you ought to be taking it from are people who understand the work because they've done the work. They understand the work of pastoring because they have pastored. They understand the work of preaching because they have and presumably are preaching. Ask them to evaluate your preaching and to tell you what are your strengths and weaknesses. Yes, that takes humility. Swallow your pride and do it. But there are a lot of other things you can do. And so many things that are available to us today that probably were not available to Timothy. There are wonderful books written on the work of the preacher, and particularly the work of constructing and delivering sermons. Find the best and read them. Maybe you should read one book a year on the art of preaching. I don't know that I have done that every year, but I have tried to do that regularly over the years when I find a good book. And some of these books have been tremendously helpful. I can think of one right now that the Lord used in such a powerful way in my life when I had a few years behind me in my preaching ministry. And I felt like I was struggling and I wasn't quite sure why. And someone put this book in my hand, or I picked it up somewhere, saw it recommended. I don't remember that any individual actually gave it to me, but I bought it somewhere, saw it recommended, bought it, read it, and it was so tremendously helpful. It really was what I needed. Now, I'd had formal training. I went to school, and I actually taught in a Bible institute and taught homiletics, which is the art of constructing sermons, how you put sermons together. So it's not that I hadn't had any training or any expertise at all in this. Somebody thought I was expert enough to teach others. I don't know if their evaluation was a very good one or not, but somebody thought so. But in spite of all of that, I had things to learn. And there were some things that I just had not really, somehow had not picked up, even though I had taken courses and read books before. This one book was so particularly helpful that it really, I don't know if I would say that it revolutionized my preaching, but that word comes close to what that book did for me. And I can think of several other books that were very helpful to me. So that's something we can do. Timothy didn't have books like that, but we do. And that will help us today to not neglect the gift that is in us, to give ourselves to them, that our progress may be evident to all. Furthermore, in our day, we have the great advantage of recordings. Sound recordings, tapes, CDs are available in our day that certainly were not available to Timothy, and they can be tremendously helpful. I'm sure every preacher listening to my broadcast today can remember when was the first time they heard a recording of themselves preaching and how shocked they were. because nobody sounds to themselves when they're speaking like they sound when they hear themselves on a recording. We sound different. And it's quite a shock, but it's quite a help. I know some people who are on radio on a regular basis that sound like they don't listen to themselves because they have particular mannerisms that really, by now, they should have eliminated. And yet they're still there. Why can't they remove those things? Why can't they listen enough to their own performance to recognize some things that need to be changed and work on them? Well, preachers certainly ought to do that. I've had to do that. And I have listened to myself sometimes with horror. Don't tell me I sound like that. Don't tell me I said that. Don't tell me I did that. Please. But there it is. Right there. Indisputably there. And what a blessing that is, to be able to hear yourself like others hear you and to change the things that need to be changed. And then, of course, added to that, in our day, we have video recordings that were certainly not available to Timothy in his day and were not available to me in the early days of my ministry, but are now widely available. If you go to school, you'll probably get videotaped. If you are in training in seminary, you'll probably get videotaped in a classroom and have to view your own tape. And again, that'll probably be a humbling experience. But that's available to us today. We can view these things and get both the can see what other people see as well as hear what other people hear. And again, that can be very painful at times. But shrinking from it isn't going to make it any better. I've heard preachers say, I don't listen to myself. I can't stand to do that. Well, then you're never going to improve. It may be painful, but if it's painful to you, and it may be more painful to you than others, because we tend to be harsher critics of ourselves than other people would be, and we tend to have a higher standard of perfection for ourselves than perhaps what other people would require, but that's good. But if you're not willing to go through the pain of listening to yourself, watching yourself, critiquing yourself, you'll probably never improve. And beyond that, some of the things you can do is just learn to take notes when you hear others preach. Be willing to listen to others preach and learn to analyze the way they do it and find those who who excel and analyze what they do. Now, there's generally going to be some elements of preaching that you cannot reproduce. Every man is unique. Every man has his own personality. Every man has his own God-given gifts and ways of doing things. And I'm not suggesting that you copy the mannerism and style of other men, because there are those unique aspects that belong to them, and you've got to be you, even as he's got to be him. But you can learn a great deal, even if you're not going to copy it. If you can analyze what it is that makes him effective and understand that, not just come away with the impression, wow, he's good, but understand why that's so. What is it? What are the elements? Break them down. Think about it. Analyze them. Study them. What are the elements of his message? The way he organizes his sermon, the way he delivers his sermon. What are the elements that make that so effective, besides the intangible element of the blessing of the Holy Spirit? But what are the human elements? And if you can understand those, then that will help you in your own preaching. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.